Praise God. Welcome to Pastor O's Corner, episode 11. My name is Oluwakin Kumi, pastor of Higher Life Christian Center. It's such a privilege to share God's marvelous word with you. In this episode, I'll be sharing the conclusion of More Than the Bread. It's about a relationship. A few years ago, I was sitting in church service in the 90s, listening to my pastor teach on faith. Now, you've got to understand, during this era, the church was heavily drenched in word of faith theology. Most of us were familiar with the mantras: confession brings possession, keep speaking the word until it comes to pass. When you confess with your mouth, you attract. There's a miracle in your mouth. Many of us believed and practiced these principles unwittingly. Some of the celebrity preachers of the 90s became our idols. We gave ear to them more than our own local pastors. After all, they were the ones on TV. They were the ones making all the waves. Back to my story anyway. Sorry for sidetracking you. As I sat in the congregation listening to my pastor, he said something that has stuck with me ever since. True faith is born out of our relationship with the Lord. Let me repeat that again. True faith is born out of our relationship with the Lord. It was as if he punched my jaw and knocked me out. The faith walk is not a formula. It is about trust. It's about knowing him. When you read through scripture, you will notice something. Something that is pretty obvious. The men who walked with Almighty God, the men who walked with El Shaddai, knew him. They had a real relationship with him. They were not in it for what they could get. It was never about selfish ambition. They knew the Father intimately. Their relationship with him affected their outlook on life. It gave them confidence in testing times. I'll be back at the end of the podcast. God bless. And for a few people who probably have been in certain situations before they became Christians, like some of the places I've been to before I embraced Christ or embraced the message, I got exposed to a lot of crazy stuff. I got exposed to people who can tell you what you had for breakfast without them being there. And that's scary. And I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, people were into crazy stuff. But if I were to see somebody say that to me today, I wouldn't be moved by it. I wouldn't even be impressed. Simply because I know that that does not necessarily mean that it's God. Amen. I'd want to see the fruit of that person's life. I'd want to examine it. I'd like to also check what scripture is saying about what the guy is saying and see whether there's any consistency with it. If it's not, I don't care if you told me what color my socks is. I will tell you straight, I don't trust you. Goodbye. John 17, 1-3. It says, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given to him. And this is the way to eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to the earth. Eternal life is knowing God. It's always been about knowing God. Having a relationship with him. Going beyond, God give me something. God give me this. God give me that. It's about you engaging in a relationship. Wanting to know more about him. Researching, reading, praying, spending time with him. And also letting that affect how you live. That's a relationship. If I have a relationship with somebody, I wouldn't want to do something that would put that relationship at risk. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So everything you do becomes an outflow of that relationship. Does it mean that we're completely perfect and we don't have flaws? No. My kids will tell you that daddy has flaws. My wife can say the same thing. But at the same time, I'm willing to accept when I'm wrong. I'm willing to say sorry. I do apologize to my kids when I get it wrong. Because I know, hey, we're flawed. But by the grace of God, we're able to do what needs to be done as Christians within the context of being a father or being a husband. Amen. But it's really about knowing God. This was a statement by Paul in Philippians. He said, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. If you know anything about Paul's life, he was obsessed with God. He wanted to know God. And it was all about him wanting to be like Christ. He didn't even mind dying for Christ. In the book of Acts, Agabus, a prophet, tied his hands and said, this is what's going to happen to the person who owns this belt when he goes to Jerusalem. Philip also had four daughters who prophesied. They also said the same thing. You know what Paul said? He said, nah, don't worry, I'm going. Even if I have to die, I'm going to preach the gospel. Now, God didn't say the guy shouldn't go. It was just, look, this is what you would face if you go in there. That's what they picked up. But God knew the guy's passion. And he worked with his passion. He went to Jerusalem. Yes, he got into trouble. And they arrested him. But this guy's obsession was about knowing God. And a person who wants to know him would want to live for him. It was way past, you know, I can't pay my bill. I need to get out of debt and pay off my mortgage. It was way beyond that. I'm not saying we shouldn't seek God in our hour of need. But our relationship should not be about need. Are you guys getting what I'm saying as I try and wrap this up? How would you like if somebody only phones you when they need money? How many of you have friends like that? Huh? They forget about you and then suddenly they need something. Hi, Andrew, please, can you... I need like... that's not a good relationship. Let me report on myself. I've probably said this before. When I was a teenager, I was in boarding school, and I needed money. And I hardly write. I don't do writing. My dad used to complain about this a lot because this guy would never write. When my sisters write home, they would give them a full report of what's going on. Oh, I did this. The teacher said this. School was great. We did this. We did this at school and this and that. I'm always very brief. I don't have time for long stories. I'm fine. You know, and I just send a letter. I don't know whether it's a man thing or a boy thing, but I was just very brief. I don't give a lot of details. One day I was really stretched and I was broke. And in those days we didn't have email, mobile phone, FaceTime, Skype. What else is out there? We didn't have any of that stuff. You know, we got, you remember airmail, don't you?
Snail mail.
That thing that you wrap up, that blue thing. You write on it and then you now seal it on all areas and put it in the post. You get that ugly little stamp right there. And I was thinking, if I do airmail this time, I'll be broke for longer. So guess what I thought? I used the best technology available. Telegram. Now, with the Telegram, they charge you by word. And you know, as a student, you don't have a lot of cash. So I had to be inventive. So I said, okay, what's the quickest way to get this money? And I just said, I am sick. Please send money. And before the end of the week, it was very swift. I got the money wired to me. Praise God. Now, that's not a child who is looking for a relationship. Praise God. All I'm saying is that's not the kind of thing that God is looking for. Acts chapter 17, verse 23 to 26. This was when Paul was arrested, like I said, in Jerusalem. And they were taking him to Caesar. They were going to release Paul. And he knew that if they release him, his Jewish brethren would lynch him because they were out for blood. In fact, some people took a fast. They said that they want to meet Paul. And they colluded with the religious leaders that we will fast. And we will not eat any food until Paul is dead. So the authorities were going to take Paul for this meeting. But then Paul's nephew came and reported to the officer. He said, it's a lie that they've already got men who have vowed that they will not eat until this guy is dead. So if you take him, he's a dead man. So Paul kind of knew that. And even though he hadn't done anything that was worthy of death, he knew if they release him into the custody of these guys, they're going to eat him alive. So Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. Smart man. So that means you can't judge me here. You have to take me to Rome. And that way he's not exposed. So he used the legal system to get around that. Now the thing is, they were on a journey. And Paul felt that the way this ship is going, this is not right. We're going to have some problems here. But they didn't listen to him because obviously he's a preacher. And they trusted the captain. There's nothing wrong with trusting the captains, by the way. But sometimes when things are not right and somebody senses something, you better pay attention. Because we all have something in us that feel, you know what, something isn't right. And they could see something wasn't right because of the way the storm was going themselves. So when they now realized that it was really bad, Paul then said this: "Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith that this will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" So Paul told him, "Look, you will lose the ship." And that's what happened. He said, "But you know what? No life will be lost if you all stay on the boat." Because some guys were thinking of exiting very quickly. In fact, some of the Roman guys, soldiers, were thinking of executing all of the prisoners. But because of the guy in charge having this liking towards Paul, he stopped them from carrying out that. Because Roman soldiers are trained never to lose a prisoner. You don't lose a prisoner. A Roman soldier does not lose a prisoner. It's totally against their religion to do so. Okay? They don't. That's why, in fact, even not just the Romans, but more the Romans. But even if you look at when James was killed, Peter was locked up, and then God miraculously rescued Peter. What did Herod do to those guards? He executed them. Because you don't lose a prisoner. You're not supposed to lose a prisoner. So the guy stopped them from doing this. But what I wanted to say with this is, look, this is obviously a guy who has a relationship. A relationship with God does not give you immunity from crisis. You will have crisis. You will have problems. But it's the quiet confidence that even if the ship is sinking, God is still God and he's got my back. And that's what you can see from this guy's life. Paul had he had it rough as a preacher. Trust me. He wasn't somebody who, when he comes around to teach, you have to put him in a 5-star hotel. He didn't need a 5-star hotel for him to actually function properly. Because the guy was in prison, in shackles, and he still got the jailer saved, and there's still miraculous stuff happening from prison after he'd just been beaten mercilessly. So he wasn't that kind of guy. But the point is, this is the guy who knew God. He knew that he belonged to God. All this shows a man who has a relationship and is confident about that relationship to a point that he says, "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." For you to trust somebody's word or to trust something that God has spoken to you is all based on relationship. When you hear about faith, it's not a mechanical principle or a mechanical thing that you can just keep shouting and repeating the same thing over and over again for God to make it happen. No. Faith is based on a relationship that is built over time. As it is with us as human beings, it's not different with God. As you build your relationship with God, as you go through each crisis in life, your confidence in him also increases. The God who saw, like David, he had a relationship with God. So when he faced Goliath, Goliath was not the test of his faith. He'd already been building it in secret. He killed a lion, killed a bear, and he said the same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear will get rid of this giant. It was all based on a relationship that had been forged over time. Amen? I just want to encourage you today, your relationship with God matters. Don't chase the bread. Chase the person who owns the bread, the giver of the bread. Chase that person. That's more important. Don't go from meeting to meeting looking for a miracle. Oh, today's special anointing. Today's, tomorrow is that. Don't do that. I know somebody years ago, wonderful brother who got caught up. He was dying of cancer. And he ran all the way to South Africa just to get a miracle. The guy didn't even look at him. Then eventually, I don't know whether he even got to even get the guy to even pray for him. That is not what God is telling us to do. Pursue him. Not men. Pursue God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's what I have for you today. I hope you got something from it. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, please drop us a line. Let us know what God's word is doing in your life. Please share it with others. Facebook it, repost it, tweet it, whatever. Just get the message out. God bless you. Have a great week or enjoy whatever is left of it. And remember, it's all about Christ in you, expressing himself through you. Catch you on the next episode of Pastor O's Corner. God bless.